Now think about cutting the rope midway along its height. The part above the cut is still hanging from the orbital hub, but the part below will immediately begin falling to the ground. The man answered now. We're perfectly safe, then. We're certainly above the cut. He looked upwards. The thread's intact all the way between here and the orbital terminus. That means if we keep climbing, we'll make it, thank God. I wouldn't start thanking him just yet. He looked at me with a pained expression, as if I were spoiling some elaborate parlor game with needless objections. What do you mean? I mean it doesn't mean we're safe. If you cut a long rope, hanging under its own weight, the part above the cut's going to spring back.
Yes.
He looked at me with threatening eyes, as if I was making my objections out of spite. I understand that, but it obviously doesn't apply to us, since nothing's happened. Yet, I said, I never said the relaxation would happen instantly all along the thread. Even if the thread's been cut below us, it'll take some time for the relaxation wave to climb all the way up to us. His question was fearful now.
How long?
I had no exact answer for them. I don't know. Speed of sound in hyperdiamond isn't very different than in natural diamond, about 15 kilometers a second, I think. If the cut was 3,000 kilometers under us, the sound wave should hit us first, about 200 seconds after the nuke flash. The relaxation wave should move slower than that, I think, but it will reach us before we reach the summit. My timing was exquisite, for the sonic pulse arrived just as I had finished speaking, a hard and sudden jolt, as if the elevator had just hit a bump in its 2,000 kilometer per hour ascent.
We're still safe, aren't we?
Asked the wife, her voice only a knife edge from hysteria.
If the cut is below us. Oh, God, I wish we'd been backed up more often.
Her husband looked at her snidely. It was you who told me those flights to the scanning clinic were too expensive to make a habit out of, darling.
But you didn't have to take me literally.
I raised my voice, silencing them. I still think we're in a lot of danger, I'm afraid. If the relaxation wave is just a longitudinal compression along the thread, there's a chance we'll ride it out safely. But if the thread starts picking up any kind of sideways motion, like a whip...
What the fuck are you?
The man asked. Some kind of engineer?
No,
I said, another kind of specialist entirely. More footfalls on the stairs now as the rest of the group came up. The jolt must have convinced them something was seriously wrong. What's happening? Asked one of the southerners, a burly man a foot taller than anyone else in the elevator. We're riding a severed thread, I answered. There are spacesuits aboard this thing, aren't there? I suggest we get into them as quickly as possible. The man looked at me as if I were insane.
We're still ascending. I don't give a damn what happened below us. We're fine. They built this thing to take a lot of crap.
Not this much, I said. By now the servitor had arrived as well, suspended from its ceiling rail. I asked it to show us to the suits. It should not have been necessary to ask, but this situation was so far beyond the servitor's experience that it had completely failed to detect any threat to its human charges. I wondered if the news of the severed thread had reached the orbital station. Almost certainly it had, and almost certainly there was nothing that could be done for the elevators still on the thread. Still, it was better to be on the upper part of the thread than the part below the severing point. I imagined a 1,000-kilometer-high section below the cut. It would take several minutes for the top of the thread to smash into the planet below. In fact, for a long while it would seem to hang magically, like a rope trick. But it would still be falling, and there was nothing in the world that could stop it. 1,000,000 tons of thread, slicing down into